You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Now, deepfakes and AI-driven fraud aren't science fiction anymore. They're here and they are exploding. In South Africa, cases linked to deepfake manipulation have surged by an astonishing 1,200% in just a year, making fake voices, images, and videos almost impossible to spot. Now, this is more than a tech challenge. It's a trust crisis for business, for government, and I guess consumers. And I'm joined now by Amrita Reddy, who is Senior Director of Fraud Product Management at TransUnion Africa. Amrita, a very warm welcome. A 1,200% surge. That is staggering. What's behind this?
Good afternoon, Jeremy. Thank you for having me. That's a really eye-watering figure. But if you don't mind, I just want to quickly give a quick definition of what a deepfake is, right? A deepfake is a synthetic media, either video, audio, image, that's created using AI to realistically impersonate someone, often used in fraud, misinformation, or identity theft. And these examples include fake videos of public figures, cloned voices used in scams, or altered biometric data. Now, the surge is really driven around the fact that we're a very digitally orientated country, and South Africa is rapidly growing with our internet penetration about 79%, over 50 million users, 124 million mobile connections that gives rise to such exploitation, and social media is also thriving, about 27 million users. So it's the access, the availability, and the modern times that's allowing this type of threat to be so amplified.
Give me a trend line if you can. Are they being used most effectively in banking, in politics, social manipulation? Where is this heading?
So the funny thing is, from our study, the hardest hitting environments have been the fintech industry, banking as well, largely because of SIM first and modern type of platforms, insurance through altered claim videos and fake medical records, retailers as well, fake selling of storefronts and scams, and the media and the government, more particularly around voice impersonation and political disinformation. So it's multiple sectors that are being used due to exploitation. And again, the systemic thing is the fact that it's environments where digital access and usability is very rife.
You correctly call this a trust crisis. So I've got to ask you the question, how much faith can businesses and consumers really place in what they're seeing and hearing right now?
So again, it is something that's peaking. And I must add, it's not just a South Africa problem. Globally, it increased 7%. And these are similar trends that we're seeing around the globe. The trust has to be placed in a couple of things. One, we need to understand, what is this threat? Where is it emanating from? How is it being exploited? And how do we defend against it? So for businesses, it comes down to the right technology, the right elements of detecting real from synthetic or a combination of both, and making sure that we've got good real-time anomaly detection and tools. There's biometric authentication and liveness detection that's very critical to verify faces and voices that are real and not artificial. We then double that with device fingerprinting and behavioral analytics to monitor, interact across devices. And then, of course, consortium data sharing across banks, fintechs, telcos, government, you know, the private and the business sector, so that we can understand these threats and stop them in their tracks as best as possible.
I absolutely understand what you're saying, but you talk about things like biometric tools and behavioral analytics. It all sounds powerful, but this is what I think the problem is. How do we avoid turning fraud prevention into consumer inconvenience?
And that is such a powerful question, because the reality is what we sometimes believe is inconvenience isn't really. And why I say that is, from one of our consumer pulse stats that we've done very recently, 88% of the population that was actually surveyed in South Africa indicated that they would prefer security in these platforms more than pricing and quality of product. So they don't really mind the inconvenience. What they do mind is how their personal information is trusted, used, and protected. So with that in mind, it's about saying, how do we create environments that sort of the solutions don't create friction? It still allows seamlessness to continue and for us to receive what we want. But the biggest parties that we want to frustrate are the fraudsters and organized criminals that's behind these attacks.
You've alluded to the fact that we need to start fighting AI with AI right now. Practically, Amrita, what does that look like?
So AI is great because it's allowing businesses to scale. It's allowing reach to exist. But the dark or the shadow side of AI is what we're experiencing now, where fraud as service organizations are using the same technology to exploit such gaps. Now, the first thing I talked about is, if we're in an environment where technology and human synergy is the order of path, how do we then combat that? And again, it's about having strong defenses around understanding what sort of verification tools we have in our platforms that allows us to be clever about these things and detect them. And secondly, we're also a very trusting culturally and from a social dynamic, Africa is a very trusting organization. So coupled with technology, coupled with smart strategies from businesses, coupled with awareness and training, digital literacy, Jeremy, is an important one for our aging population, but more so our youth. Whilst they are digitally savvy, they are very naive and therefore can be exploited. So digital literacy is an important part. Getting the right levels of skills and competencies to support AI tools, verification and adoption is equally important. So it's a combination of things.
I accept both of those arguments, but I would also ask you what role governments and regulators need to be playing more assertively in setting rules for deepfake use and punishment.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And again, regulation and compliance is critically important for us. So, for example, there should be laws that's held against individuals that are abusing it. And when found, the book of the law should be thrown at them with the hardest defense to make sure, or the hardest outcome to make sure abuse doesn't happen. And regulation can help us with that. The second thing is government and regulation can help in our current compliance standards or our regulatory universe embed everything related to artificial intelligence and modernize these compliance rules or programs and frameworks that we need to adopt. And currently there's a gap because traditionally defenses, rules and regulatory programs are there, but we fast-tracked to a very modern, evolving digital world. And there is where a lot of work must be done to ensure that those gaps are closed, but AI is equally brought into the compliance and the reg tech universe.
And just quickly, critically, that gap has got to be closed very quickly because deepfakes soon, if not already, are becoming impossible to distinguish from reality. And it's going to make building a digital world that people trust more and more difficult.
That's absolutely true. And that's where the power of communication, education, awareness, and conversation happens, similar to what we're doing right now. Secondly, we have to do cross-sector and cross-country collaboration and sharing of intelligence, fraud intelligence, because these matters are no longer done locally. They're often done across border, but impacting us as South African citizens. So it's a combination of consortium data, education, cross-sector frameworks that support sharing and law enforcement of solving these types of incidents, and more importantly, continuous engagement and strengthening strategies. So basically, we've got good insights. How do we turn those insights into action? And how do we look at it as a holistic framework that can combat people, process, systems, businesses, and our society and organizations?
Well, we can't say that we have not been warned. Amrita Reddy, thank you very much indeed. Senior Director, Fraud Product Management at TransUnion Africa.